In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Before we start thinking about the Day of Judgment next Sunday, it's good for us to think about what the meaning of life really is. What is the life that we are given to live that we lose track of, become confused, and start looking for something amusing to pass the time, as though life had no real meaning? All of us have probably gone through periods of time like that in our lives. When we were children, and under the protection of our parents, if we were fortunate, and not all of us are so fortunate as to have had such a childhood, there was a time when we could play and enjoy the toys that we were given, play out in the midst of a sunny day next to a brook in a field, and it was as though time would never pass, totally involved in what we were doing, not a thought, not a care. All of the things that we needed were given to us and provided for us. And we lived as children and maybe gained a sense of the sweetness of life that would become very important to us later on. But we can't successfully live our entire lives as children. Which brings us to the prodigal. The prodigal son, we have to remember, isn't called the prodigal son because he comes back. To be prodigal is to waste everything, to squander all of his inheritance that he is given, as he does. He goes into a far country, and as though he is still a young child, and there is no end to the resources and the time at his disposal, and he has no responsibility for caring for himself. He uses all that he was given in a wasteful way. And when the difficult time comes, when the time of famine comes, he has nothing left. He has been prodigal with all that he was given. On a previous Sunday, we were reminded by one of the monastic saints, Saint Isaac the Syrian, that the time of our lives is given to us for a purpose. Not simply to pretend that there is no meaning to life, but to use the time of our life and the resources and talent that we are given to our salvation. Our salvation. Not to be saved from some bad thing that's going to come, but to be saved from a life of aimlessness and meaninglessness. As children, we're perfectly content to spend the time in play. But as we grow older, we need to have meaning and purpose in our life. And if we try to fill our lives with squandering our talents and our abilities and our resources, or trying to build up some castle in the sand of our own so that we can be proud and think maybe in the back of our mind of those days when we were children, when we could accomplish some thing during the day, some project, and take it to our parents for their approval. There is more to life than that. There is a real purpose to life. Our lives are not to be wasted, not to be squandered, as though there were no meaning to being alive. The story of the prodigal son has a happy ending. The son, we are told, comes to himself once he is reduced to the point of living like the lowest kind of animal, with death not far off. He realizes that it would be better to live in the bosom of his father's family than to live like this. Even those who are servants in his father's household are members of that household. They are cared for. There is compassion for them. They are part of something larger and greater than themselves. a common life that's shared amongst them all. And so he returns to the Father, and the Father welcomes him with open arms. The difficulty at that point is not for the prodigal son who's been welcomed back into the bosom of his family, but for the elder brother who has never left and has always done what he ought to do and is angry because his brother has been dealt with in this way after going out and wasting all of those resources. And when he returns, he's greeted in this kind of way. And here we see that this parable that Jesus is telling the people is not a parable of the old covenant. Under the old covenant, it wouldn't have been that way. There is something new going on here. This kingdom of God, this new community that God is founding so that we can be members of his divine way of life. That's what stands behind this parable. And the Father does appeal to the elder son by reminding him of something that those familiar with the old covenant would understand. He reminds him, the life that you have, and the life that your brother has, and the life of the Father, and the life of all of the members of that community, they are one life. Your brother is your life. In this parable, with Jesus doing the telling of the parable, something new is being brought out. The Father is not just an Old Testament father who would discipline the son for his foolishness and maybe not greet him with compassion, but with a good, I told you so. This isn't that kind of story. Because the family is more than the family of an old patriarch of the old covenant. This family is what the family of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit is like. And we are the ones who have been prodigal with our resources, taking the abilities and the capacities that we have and wondering to ourselves, what can I do with these abilities and these capacities? My life is a life of freedom. There is no authority over me any longer, as St. Paul says. I am free of the law. But still, all things are not helpful. All things are not good for me. All things are not good for me in what sense? All things are not good for me if I am going to fulfill who I am. And at first we don't know who we are. And maybe through most of our lives, we're unclear about that. Jesus, the Christ, comes, and he offers salvation by offering to us to become members of the family of Father and Son and Holy Spirit, so that we can call his Father our Father. The return that we're called to make is a return to all that lives from the life of God himself. All of creation lives from God's life. And through Christ, God is making the ones who he had created into those who can call him their Father. That's the only possible salvation for us. So long as we wander in the world, squandering what it means for us to be the particular human being that we are all unique, but we are all human beings, all created to live like everything else alive and created lives from the Father. But we've lost our way. And there's only one way of return, and that is to become sons who return to the Father of the one who is the Son of God. He created us, and the only way he could save us from our having wandered off away from the source of life in the world, wondering what to do with our abilities and our capacities and the time of our life. The only way he could save us is to call us back to him. And so the good news and the bad news are really the same news. Life does have meaning. Life does have a purpose. And the meaning and the purpose of life are the same meaning and purpose for all of us as human beings. To return to the divine home of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, the one who has made us into his children, his sons and daughters, to live from him. And with him, there really is no end of resources. We are called to a life that is the highest kind of life. We are created in the image and likeness of God. And we can't fulfill who we are until we return to participate, to share in a life that is the fulfillment of our calling as those who are created in the image and likeness of God. The Philokalia, the great collection of all of the spiritual guidance and wisdom from the beginning of the life of this new communion that we call the Church, this communion with the Father through the Son in the Holy Spirit, so that we can fulfill our humanity. How do we go about living that life? The Philokalia contains guidance as to how to go about doing that. And it's about the kind of spiritual effort that we are going to soon be making in Great Lent. And Philokalia, what does it mean? It means the love of beauty. The love of spiritual beauty. The love of beauty. God created a beautiful world. God created a world in which there is a beautiful order and design. And in human beings, he created the most beautiful things of all. If we are living our lives as they are meant to live, there is a beauty in the life of every one of us as a human being that is higher than any other kind of beauty that God has created in the world. And there is a joy in fulfilling our lives in that kind of beautiful and good and spiritually increasing kind of way. Because this life that we are called to live isn't simply a life of knuckling down finally in the end and disciplining ourselves to listen to some Old Testament rule-giving father saying, do this, don't do that. That life was to prepare us to realize the freedom that God has given us to actually live our lives and the ability that he has returned to us to live our lives. The highest kind of spiritual life, a life that is inspired by the love of all that is good and true and beautiful and all of the things that we truly and most deeply desire. That is the life that we are returning to share with all of those who live from the divine life of God himself. And only the reluctance of someone who has turned away and determined to somehow survive on their own from whatever they can gather together so that they don't have to be part of that other life with God, the Father, and all of the brothers and sisters of the Son, and all of the members of the divine family, and all creation rejoicing in the glory of God. No, we'd rather be on our own, faced in a dark direction, licking our wounds and dying. That's what we're asked to turn away from. We're not being called to suffer through 40 days of giving up all of the good toys and things that we really love and care about. We're being called to return to the home that all of us share in all that is good and true and beautiful. That is to say, the life of God Himself and our own lives as they are when we share His divine life. And so, understanding all of that, St. Paul begins to make a different kind of sense when he says to us, as we've heard this morning, the body is for food and food is for the body, but I will not be dominated by the body. I will not be dominated by food, because there is a purpose for the body. There is a purpose for life that is higher than becoming more and more unconscious as we resort to the satisfaction of the best kind of food and the most kind of fun that we can pack into a few minutes and reluctantly go about the rest of our lives. That's no way to live. And so when we think about what we are returning to, and we think about the call of the great Lenten return to life, let's try not to be so dismal. It's not true life and the real meaning of things that we're leaving behind. It's all of that time that we spend trying to fill up our day with things that are, if we're honest about it, ultimately kind of meaningless and pointless. We need to be restored by returning to the source of life itself. We need to be restored by returning to the home of all of life. All of us living now, and all those who have ever lived, from the life of God Himself. It is a return to the source of life. And as we said the other week, it's good to remind ourselves that this is the springtime of life, where there is an ever-increasing brightness of more and more life. That is the journey that we are making through the great Lenten season. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.